Oh, look at this. No. No, no, no. Nope. Come on. We've had a break. Haven't we had some time to reflect on how that doesn't make any sense? It's a Welsh name, and you're taking the attention off of where it needs to be. Two rainbow people, stand up. Show yourselves off. Look at that. Wow.
Look at those shirts.
Wow.
Never having sex.
Yeah.
You're listening to The Dollop. This is a bilingual American history podcast where each week I, Dame Anthony, read a story from American history to a cat guy.
Thank you. Named Gareth Reynolds, who has no idea what the topic is going to be about.
Meow.
No, sir.
I have Dollop tour dates to announce for the year 2024 of our Lord J-Town. We have our 10th anniversary show coming up in Los Angeles on April 27th. Guests are Karen Kilgariff and James Adomian. And then we are going to Australia starting on May 13th in Perth, May 16th in Sydney, May 18th in Brisbane, May 20th in Canberra, May 22nd in Melbourne, and May 24th in Adelaide. You can get your tickets at dolloppodcast.com. January 8th, 1846. Okay. Year of our Lord Jesus Christ.
And this, you have pictures for this one.
Shh.
Oh, thought that was...
Well, there goes the surprise.
Oh, sorry. Let's take it from the top.
Charles de Young.
Oh, no. This guy? Oh, if he's you don't know...
You're from Milwaukee. You don't know. He's a guy here.
He's a guy, yeah.
He's a guy.
Yeah, he's from the Tenderloin.
He was born in Natchitoches, Louisiana.
Okay.
His parents were Cornelia and Michael DeYoung, and he had two brothers, Michael and Gustavus.
Okay.
Little is known about their childhood.
Sure. Probably a bunch of siblings died. And
a lot of people died.
Yep.
People got shot. There was a poisoning.
Now you're eight.
Someone poisoned a five-year-old.
Time to go to work. Right. Yep. Yep.
And then at some point, the boys and Cornelia moved to San Francisco during the Civil War. No dad.
Okay.
So that's years later, but they sure. So they were bopping around for a while. We don't know what they were doing. We'll get some hints of what they were doing later.
Okay, great. Sure.
So the boys at this point, they're teenagers.
It's going so fast. It's flying. I feel like their childhood's just...
Sometimes we don't
know. I feel
know.
Like a parent right now.
Sometimes
just, where do the
know.
Years go?
They're Jewish. They join the Temple of Emmanuel. Oh, woo, Jewish.
Woo-ish.
Wait till... 2024, you won't be doing that. The boys also...
Is that in this episode?
Is that a weird thing? Is that... What happened? The boys also told people they were of French aristocracy. So they're like...
No.
They're just telling people, they're like, no, we're fancy Frenchies.
Right. Yeah, we're from France. Yeah, that's it. Yeah, we're French. We like baguettes, yeah. Now give us money, you dumbass.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's exactly what they were doing. All three boys began working in the printing office
sure.
of the synagogue's newspaper that was called the Weekly Gleaner.
The Weekly Gleaner?
Yep.
These paper names back in the day.
It's a weird time. I mean, look, you didn't have a web page.
Sure.
So you put out a weekly paper at your synagogue.
The Weekly Gleaner. It sounds like a glass magazine.
I really tried to find it, but I couldn't. There's a Weekly Gleaner in North Carolina, but that was all I could find.
Sure. Okay. All right. Okay, so the boys start working at the Weekly Gleaner.
That's right.
The synagogue newspaper.
Yes. After years, Charles decided to strike out on his own, and he borrowed $25 to start
How
a newspaper.
How fucking great is it that there was a time when you were like, I'm going to go off on my own and start a life. Can I have $25? To just go carve out my own niche. $10. I want to get married and buy a house.
Now, at the time, there are tons of newspapers in San Francisco. There's 12 dailies, 17 weeklies.
12 dailies? Oh, my God.
Four bimonthlies, 13 foreign language papers, And then there's a bunch of political and religious journals.
Jesus Christ.
So it's just fucking newspaper city. It's
yeah.
Just,
okay.
So the DeYoung brothers together are like, this town needs another newspaper.
We need it. You know what this town needs is a newspaper.
So Charles is 19 years old, and he rents printing equipment. They're going to publish their newspaper is a free theater guide called the Daily Dramatic Chronicle.
I don't feel good about the paper. I feel like it's not, oh, God.
That's the first one.
Dramatic Chronicle.
Grotto Nymph.
By the way.
Grotto Nymph.
Every paper now is a Dramatic Chronicle. World's Olympic. Sophie Irene and Little Jenny.
I mean, look, Charles said.
Why don't you go see the Grotto Nymph if you're in town? Whoa, you're going to love the Grotto Nymph.
Charles said it was about the, quote, actions, intentions, sayings, doings, movements, successes, failures, oddities.
I feel like he doesn't know what he's doing.
Oddities?
He's just like, it's about, what is it about? What isn't it about, Jack?
Peculiarities.
Peculiarities.
And speculations
and
of...
And speculations of...
Us poor mortals.
Us poor mortals. It's a bit of a... It's a hard paper to fathom. It's the weekly fathom.
It's...
Sit down and have a process. Boy, what won't this paper do?
News.
That's the one thing that eludes us, actually, is news. You're talking about a newspaper that you can put down for your cat to go on if you want, a newspaper you can use to paint, you can use the newspaper for everything, but just don't try to get any information for that. That's the Weekly Gleaner if you want info.
San Francisco was full of high living and low morals at this point.
Sure. All right. Hell yeah.
Still is, brother.
That's right.
Gold and silver mines are pumping in money, people flooding in. Oscar Wilde said, quote, it is an odd thing, but everyone who disappears is said to be in San Francisco.
I don't think he was okay. He shouldn't have said that. Think of how many people are like, that's where she is, Don. Let's go find her. Oscar Wilde knows what he's talking about. We wasted our lives. She's not here, Judy. That Oscar Wilde wouldn't mislead us. You foolish woman. Our lives are gone. Three lives gone.
I feel like he just said that as like a way to say that like when his friends go away, like I didn't think he should have taken it as seriously. Also, it's Oscar Wilde. Like maybe he doesn't know about, he's not like a crime guy. I think
the man
just...
is friends with Joe Rogan. Shut the fuck up.
So people come from, you know, every country. There were opium dens, opera houses, seedy wharves, streets of mud, fleas. There's tons of fleas.
Lots of fleas?
Yeah. San Francisco's a flea city.
Like bassists?
Just flea, yes. Just all these bleed.
Put some pants on. Socks meant for your foot.
The word hoodlum was created in San Francisco to describe men hanging on corners.
To describe what?
Men hanging around on corners.
Men, oh my God, fucking always the shadiest.
Especially the Chinese. Then it was really directed at Chinese guys hanging out in a corner.
Oh, cool. Awesome. Love when I get into a bit of fun and then you bring race into it.
I'm. Well, have you heard of America?
I have heard of America. Yeah. Best country in the world.
Yeah, okay, woke guy.
Yeah. You don't know what it's like to be in the crosshairs of the woke. You know,
I've been living in Woken. I've been living in Woken stand my whole life.
I'm not going to fall into your woke trap. I'm just going for a walk through the me forest, and you're setting up little woke traps. Nope, nope, nope. Not going to take the bait, Jack. I can say whatever I want. I'm me. I live in space with a cat.
I know. Space cat.
I'd like to think I was in the title, too.
No, it's just Space Cat. The show's called Space Cat. Nobody cares about the fucking sidekick.
What? Did you just fucking call? Buddy, you weren't in the dream, dickhead.
Trust me, the show is about...
Believe me, the spotlight was over here.
There's a fucking cat in space. That's all anybody cares
about.
You
do not need to tell me that there's a saucer whiskey drinking cat in space.
That's the whole show.
You don't fucking... What are you doing right now?
We may not need you.
You are not cutting me
from my own goddamn dream, Hollywood. What? Show us the cat.
Show us the cat. Show us the cat.
And then I get killed. Scar did this.
So San Francisco is ripe for the kind of paper that Charles wants to put out.
Really?
Miners love opera. This is something I did not know. Miners loved opera.
Miners loved opera?
Yes.
Turn your lamps off.
There were tons of opera houses in San Francisco, tons of theaters. They also love minstrel shows and circuses. They love Shakespeare. So there's stages all over. There's stages in gambling halls. There's stages in saloons. There's just always shows going on.
So, wait, so like gambling and saloons count as shows?
Well, so, no, they would have a stage in the gambling
anything
place.
Anything that has, okay.
And they have stages everywhere.
Sure,
there's just always a show going on.
Sure, okay, sure.
And so that's why they're distributing the Daily Dramatic Chronicle, because they put it in all these places.
Right, so people now, if any show they want to go to, they have their paper.
Yes, it's for them.
Right.
So Charles works 5 days straight. He gets just 13 hours sleep to get the first edition out.
But isn't the aren't shows changing daily?
Yeah, but he's just getting the first one out.
Okay.
I don't think it's a daily paper yet, but it's going to become a daily paper.
Okay, well, that's something to look forward to, isn't it?
He wrote, he found advertisers, he ran the press, and he borrowed money to buy coffee to stay awake.
Can I have one penny?
So the paper's a hit right away.
Okay.
It becomes one of the most read and most feared papers. People are scared that he's going to attack them.
Wait, what?
Papers.
People are scared, like, so he basically now, so it's almost like how Amazon ranks companies. He, if the show is great, he can put it up front, but if he wants to bury
you,
he can
bury it. No, it's not known. He's doing actual news.
Oh, he is?
Yeah, he's in the back pages, he does news. The first
page
is all
about shows.
So he gets
you in by being like, hey, want to see a show? And then he's like, you know, there's a bunch of communists around here.
That's right. And so he's like, he'll go after people.
Right,
and people
okay.
are scared that okay. he'll do that.
Sure.
He's making $2,000 a month from ads, so they're making fucking money. That's a lot of money back then. And there's not a scandal he doesn't cover. Every rumor he prints in the paper.
Sure, that's not dangerous.
The Daily Dramatic Chronicle just rolls off the tongue.
Yeah, it really does, yeah.
They loved going after other papers.
Oh, so that I enjoy.
So they would tack.
I like that, yeah, okay.
It's like when websites fight.
Extra, extra! The Daily Gleaner sucks!
It's no different than YouTube.
Right, yeah.
It's
right.
all YouTube.
Or
it's
anything.
Just people. Look at what fucking Frank said.
Yeah.
So he printed an article about a rival publisher having an affair with his copywriter. And the publisher was married and a church deacon, so people just went crazy for it. It leads to an adultery trial and a divorce, and his readership goes through the roof.
I now understand the charm of this publication far more than before. And you're like, it's a hit. I'm like, people are like, all right, look, there's a show.
Yeah, it's instead, amazing.
Okay.
So the DeYoung brothers still live with their mom.
They're how old now?
Well, they're in their 20s. And,
okay. And this is a while ago, so your 20s or your 30s.
They make it $2,000 a month. They could probably move out. But
right. But yeah. But
Michael, his brother. So Michael's the co-owner and assistant publisher. Gustavus handled the business side of stuff. And Charles is the boss, like the heart of the paper.
Okay.
Charles, he has small, beady eyes. He's got a lot of energy. He would walk the city just keeping tabs on everything. Saloon, City Hall, he's just out there all the time.
Right, looking for something to write in his paper. Right. So if he comes by, you, like, shut the fuck up.
Yeah, The more he reports, the more powerful he gets.
Sure.
Rival papers start saying he's making up stories.
Right.
He's just making shit up.
Yeah, well, listen, it's a dramatic paper.
Look at the name! Yeah. What'd you think it was going to be? Come
on! Of course I'm overreacting!
Businessmen are saying he blackmails advertisers to get them to buy ads.
Sure. That's what we do.
Yep. Wealthy ladies believed he took bribes to bury stories.
Okay. Right.
And then, like I said, they covered standard news.
So it's kind of inquiry.
Yeah,
inquirery.
A little bit. And they would cover regular news, but he would rewrite it in sensational ways.
Right, he'd be like, "Maggie, he has a chimp, too. Let's have fun. He's in a cave curing cancer with a chimp and divorced."
The paper's biggest break was Lincoln's assassination.
Oh, finally, someone shot that fucker. Let's go. This is our time to strike.
So the reason it worked
dumb-hatted leader go boom. You know, I hear Mary Todd was having sex with John Wilkes. Type it, type it. Give me another hit. This is good shit. You hear Lincoln's brain sprouted feet and jogged off? Now it's in the Olympics as a Greek.
You sure, boss?
Absolutely. Hey, go down to the store. Give me another pot of coffee. I got some bullshit to churn.
I thought we were on cocaine.
Yeah, we sure are. But it's medicinal cocaine.
Yes.
The kind a doctor would prescribe.
That's right.
Quarterback doctor. I've got our back page. Hey, we didn't write any shows in this week's paper. Fuck the shows.
So, a man from the paper was at, just happened to be at the telegraph office when the news came in of Lincoln being killed.
Okay.
And so the DeYoungs got the drop on all the other papers.
Oh, okay. Okay.
So, wow,
what a time when you were like walking the street, like, knowing that the president has been shot in the back.
And no one else knows.
Yeah, and you're just walking around.
And you know no one else can find out.
Right, yeah.
Because you know and no
right,
one else.
Right, yeah.
It's crazy.
It's pretty great.
So this is from that edition, the evening edition. So it's actually on the same day that Lincoln was shot, which is pretty crazy for that time period. That, and so this is on page 3.
Oh, my God. What?
So Lincoln's...
How do you not just swap the pages?
Latest...
How hard is it to just change the folding? It can't be that hard.
I just can't imagine...
Extra, extra, love seats everywhere. Also, president shot dead.
I just can't imagine picking
Duck
up the...
Duck wears waistcoat, looks like waiter. Also, president fucking murdered at a play by a fucking actor. Yes.
Is there a review for Grotto Nymph in there?
Yeah, that's page 2. That's a lot of that. The Grotto Nymph is a lot of page 2.
Great, I'll take
one. And then if you flip it over, you'll find out that the First Lady's been widowed this afternoon. But you gotta get there.
Is there an opera listing?
Yeah, no, there's a lot of, yeah, for sure. There's opera, but the president has been fully killed.
I think if that mattered, it would be on page 1.
That's how, yeah, fair pushback. You know, the thing about this duck who looks like a waiter is when he comes over, you put the bill on the bill. And that's what to us is so kitsch.
So the next day...
Also a change in national leadership.
It must have been so crazy because they always put all the theater stuff on the first 2 pages. And they,
well,
they
by
must
the way,
have had a
this
discussion.
Even relates to fucking theater. Like, there's no more... He was at a goddamn play.
Big night at show.
Like, literally...
In D.C.
Yeah. Killed by a fucking actor at a theater. No. Page 3. It'll be everyone will be lost.
Well, start at about Ford's Theater in the show, and then at the end... Say also the president was killed.
Yeah, amazing show at Ford Theater. Wow, what a group of actors. The president was murdered at it.
So the next day, the paper, because they were ahead of everybody, they added graphic and exciting details. They had like big drawings, like they got out
Look
ahead
at the brain.
Of everybody else.
Horrible graphic details. Boy, was that hat full of blood.
Well, I mean, no one had pictures
Looked
back
like
then.
A thing of sangria. It's his words.
It's not, yeah, but...
I'm a vehicle for his thoughts.
But back then, there were no pictures, so everyone just drew it. Like, all the papers. If you go and look up drawings of Lincoln's assassination, it's just crazy. It's really insane.
Oh, my God. Just like Wilkes Booth has, like, a cannon behind him. Fuse lit. There we go. Mush it. Mush it real good.
So circulation shot up to 10,000.
Oh, yeah. I thought you were talking about Lincoln's circulation. I was like, he doesn't have that anymore. Okay, so people are in. People are like, they know when the president dies more than any other paper in this town.
And then they changed the name to the Daily Morning Chronicle. That's the 3 years in now.
The Daily Morning Chronicle.
Charles announced their editorial policy with the name change, quote, "We shall support no party, no clique, no faction, neither the Republican Party nor the Democratic Party nor the Pacific Railroad nor the Bank of California are great enough to frighten us or rich enough to buy us."
There we go. Yeah. Independent journalism.
Yes, thank you.
Finally. And then that's okay.
No one listens to you.
Huh?
You die a lonely death.
Excuse me?
No one read anything you did.
Pardon?
Independent journalist. Nobody cares. Go away. Fuck off.
We did great work.
No, you do shit work, and everyone thinks you're conspiracy cuckoos until it turns out to be true 20 years later.
Lincoln's still alive. And he's killing vampires.
You're listening to Joe Rogan.
My guest today is Abraham Lincoln. Well, thank you, Joe. Big fan. Long time, first time.
So Charles...
I can't get the headphones on with this hat, unfortunately. It's a bit of a cumbersome decision. I'll put it down here. It'll just match my chin beard.
So Charles does not even have a grade school education, and he's doing this, right?
Sure.
He worked nonstop. He makes his employees work nonstop.
Cool.
He's brutal to his workers.
Awesome.
If you didn't think they were doing enough, he didn't think they were doing enough ever.
Wow. Can they you always... imagine a time like that?
They were always quitting or breaking down.
You know, just hearing like the Republicans, we don't favor Republicans or Democrats, and there's just like, you know, terrible work abuse. I feel at home.
Yeah. One of those people was Gustavus, who started suffering from mental health issues.
Okay.
Charles, he was taken off working at the paper, briefly put in asylum, and Charles quickly took his name off the top of the paper. Just gone.
Sure, yeah, that's sure.
No longer there.
Probably brought him great comfort.
Yes.
Good brother.
The Chronicle is considered now one of the top papers in the country.
Okay.
The Clay Center Dispatch wrote, quote, "In the outside of this miniature venture in journalism, may have been contemptuously ignored as the bantling of those two young Jews. But the dramatic Chronicle was too lively a sheet to be ignored. Besides, it was bright, witty, fresh, and well-written."
I love that that's all through the prism. I'm like, that's right, two Jews did it. Unbelievable. They made a Jews paper.
It's called the Jupiter.
Unbelievable. And keep in mind, I'm talking about two Jews. A story so wacky, they should put it on their third page.
The Chronicle, in 1871, they were always covering this guy, Judge Delos Lake. So they're covering him a lot, and then they do one story.
Well, he's just,
they're just going after him all the time.
Okay.
And they do one story, and they make some ugly comments about his wife. I couldn't find out what they were, but the judge is really mad.
Mm-hmm, okay.
And on December 2nd, Charles is walking on Montgomery with a money broker, and this is from the SF Bulletin. Quote, "Judge Lake sprang upon them, precipitating the whole force of his body upon him."
So he kind of just, like, walrused into him.
Fucking jumped on him.
So he's just walking down the street with a money broker, and then he just basically, he's like, plop.
Yeah, he got, like, tackled.
Now what? Your move.
The judge hit Charles several times, quote, with no effect.
I am now fully picturing like a walrus. Like, it's like a pillow.
The judge then lifted his cane to hit Charles.
Okay, that'll help.
And Charles backed off and managed to dodge it. And then they stood there looking at each other.
Boy, this guy had a real opportunity. I mean, take a page out of the Wilkes Booth book, honestly. I mean, if you're going to sneak attack.
Yeah, oh yeah.
You don't just walrus
come
into somebody
with a cane.
And then, yeah, and then sort of on guard with a cane and they're dodging it. And then you're like, all right, now let's talk.
Now you come in, you lead cane from
lead
behind.
Lead cane, absolutely.
So your idea of fighting is to hit a guy in the back with a cane.
I mean, if you have a gun, you go with that, for sure.
Interesting. The judge then pulled out a derringer.
There it is. So was he working in opposite time? He was like, I want to give him a fighting chance.
Instead of running...
Next, I have a nuclear bomb. He's like got Wile E. Coyote pants.
Instead of running away or backing off, Charles rushed at him and grabbed his arm so he couldn't shoot at him. And then they fell to the ground, struggling. Now, Lake is trying to point the gun at his head, and Charles is trying to pull it away. It's like a movie now.
Sure,
like,
yes, right.
And then Lake gives up trying to shoot him and just starts hitting Charles over the head with the gun.
Oh, okay, so he caned the gun. Interesting. Interesting move. Okay.
The bulletin, quote, "No one in the meantime interfered, as lookers-on were chiefly anxious to get out of the way of flying bullets."
Sure.
Yeah, they don't want to get shot.
Right, fair enough, yeah.
The gun fired and grazed Charles' scalp. Blood flowed from his head. Lake then went back to pounding him on the head with the pistol.
Wow, really? Okay.
The ball...
At no point was anyone like, maybe we should do something. Everyone's like, just careful. Let it play out. Hold on. I think he has dynamite. Now he's pulling a bunch. He's got a clock in his pants. It's a lot of kerchiefs.
Kerchiefs?
Yeah, it's like magicians.
Yeah. No, I got it. So the ball that was shot goes into the thigh of a guy who was just standing there, Ed Wheeler.
Well, see, that's why you get it. You go mix it up a little bit.
Yeah.
You're just going to take... He took a ball to the thigh.
Finally, some bystanders at that point jumped in and pulled Lake off, and he was arrested.
For what? Defending his woman's honor?
So a large crowd now walks back with Charles to his office.
Hey, what are you doing, Charles? Where are you going now, Charles? What's up, Charles? How's your head? Your head's really bloody, Charles.
And they're denouncing Lake really loudly. They're
fuck
like,
Lake! Charles better! We are so bored! There's so little to do right now!
There's nothing to do!
There's nothing! This is everything! This is the Super Bowl and a wedding!
Now, Lake, talking to the cops, said he only meant to cane Charles, but then he saw Charles reach into his pocket and thought he was going to shoot him.
Sure, yeah, absolutely.
But Charles was unarmed.
Right, but he still was reaching in his pocket during a fight. I'm sure that happened.
And then...
Cigarette?
And then Lake also said, on top of that, that the gun went off accidentally. So he pulled it out and then shot accidentally.
Sure, that happens, absolutely. That, I mean, look, the police, it happens to the police a ton. It does. Such butterfingers we hire. So that's just, I don't know what it is.
So Lake immediately gets bailed out and then just goes back to work the next day as a judge.
As a judge? I feel like this is not, it's just not good context for the judge. Like, he's probably like, yeah, you didn't mean it though, right? You probably just pulled it out because you thought she was going to pull one out. Okay, yeah. Not guilty. No.
So, a couple of months later, he ended up getting a $300 fine.
Okay, which is $18 million in our money.
Murder a guy and shooting a guy in the thigh.
Yeah.
Just whatever. Yeah. Now, Charles had a temper. He would slander anyone, but then he'd fly into a rage if someone slandered him, and he would want revenge.
Oh, man, those people are wild.
He carries a gun, but it's very well known that he's a terrible shot.
And that's we know not a this. Good public... Like how, that.
They knew because he had tried to shoot at a bunch of people and missed.
Okay. Oh, man. It's like, imagine if your neighborhood was just like laser tag, but with pistols. It's like how you lived every day. You're like, oh, he's a terrible shot. Yeah, I tried to shoot him, but didn't. Anyway, should we go have a beer? What do you say? Call it a day? It's two. There's a man murdered. What do you want to do? Go play horseshoes?
It's really crazy.
Fun, isn't it?
So there's a guy named Ben Naphthali, and he works for the Chronicle for years, and then he strikes out on his own.
Okay.
Starts his own paper with another guy named Fitzgerald. It's called The Sun.
Simple.
The San Francisco Sun.
Simple.
Yeah. He had learned how to write Scandal under Charles. And he put those skills to work on the guy he knew most about.
Oh, no.
Charles DeYoung.
So he started a Charles paper in the style of Charles?
Yes.
Wow. Okay.
This is when you create your nightmare,
your monster,
right?
Right?
Yeah, you create your monster.
It's what you did, basically,
and of course,
with me.
He's the big... Yes. Correct, Gary. He is the...
No.
He is... They love it. They love it.
Sir.
He is... But if you take him down now you've made a name and your paper takes off.
Sure.
Right?
So. And what's he going to do? Shoot near you?
That's right. He's not going to hit you.
Worst case?
Worst case, he shoots around you at the wall.
He hit the president. The president's in town? Oh, God.
So Napthali wrote detailed stories about Charles, and Charles would respond. At one point, Charles accused the son of blackmailing people. And he called Napthali, quote, a thief, a liar, a bigamist, and a scoundrel. And Fitzgerald, a customer of gambling houses and prostitutes, quote, and one of the most degraded specimens of hoodlumism.
Sure.
Hoodlumism.
It was a movement.
Hoodlumism.
Yeah, it's a religion.
So the next day, word came that the Sun had printed a response. It attacked the brothers DeYoung, and the Chronicle, quote, included in its villainous sweep all the family members of their family, not even sparing the gray hairs of the venerable mother, an old lady, who has, whatever be the faults of her sons, is respected by all who know her and how has already seen her great-grandchildren.
Wait, what just happened?
So this is part of the writing that everyone loves.
Okay, so they're like, and we're going to go after your mom, too.
They did. They went after his mom.
Right, and what they just said, like, because what, like, to me, I was like, okay. But back then, people were like, oh, shit. Did you hear what they just wrote?
Well, they...
It's fucking on. And that's when the Yo Mama Weekly opened. Extra, extra, when your mom sits around the house, she sits around the house.
Page 6. Yeah, so they went after the mother.
Okay.
Now, there were 200 copies printed.
Whoa.
And the DeYoungs fanned out across the city to buy as many copies as they could. But then when they bought them, it just meant it was selling out, so it led to more printing.
Hey, we want to return the papers, but don't sell them to anyone. We want to archive them. Where's the Smithsonian?
And then that also caused the price to go up. So they were creating...
So they've created...
Demand.
Right, yeah. Which is
people
what always
like,
happens.
Why have this paper sell like crazy?
But
what's in it?
Right. You know, the cover-up's worse than the crime, Dave.
So Gustavus has nothing to do with the paper, but he's mad because they're talking about his mama.
Uh-oh.
And he's pissed. So Gustavus goes to the son's office, and Uh-oh. He pulls out his gun, and he aims
Jesus,
it.
I mean, this is what I'm talking about. Like, just, like, we're violent. We're a violent people, but...
What?
Yeah, but in your life, it's like every 2 days, someone's showing up with a gun or going to kill someone.
You don't want to work at newspapers, is what
no,
I'm taking
No, obviously,
away.
Yeah. Who knew?
So he points it at Fitzgerald, but one of the employees there tackles him, and they end up letting him go. But as he's leaving...
Don't do this again! Are you fucking kidding? You're a grown-ass man coming here to murder us. Get the fuck out of here. Take your gun to... Well, probably shouldn't have done that. We are so disappointed in you. Wow! At your age! Imagine if you'd shot me.
As Gustavus is leaving, he says, if they print any more, there's going to be violence. As if that's not what almost just happened.
Yeah.
Unless you tackle me.
If you do this again, I might do something that threatens your lives.
Those are the rules of almost murder. If you tackle me before I shoot, then I don't almost murder.
Yeah. But if you capture me, I give you 3 wishes. It's leprechaun law, but with pistols.
So, but they find out they're still going to print more. So Charles reaches out to one of his political buddies, who is the chief of police.
Jesus.
And he says, can you go over there and shut down the paper?
It's like all they've been doing is talking shit.
Yeah.
And now someone's talking shit. They're like, you're not allowed to talk shit.
We talk shit. So the police go and raid the Sun's offices.
Hey, where's the gossip, huh? You got a bunch of gossip around here? Which drawer are your secrets in, Jack?
What's this say about that old lady?
Open up your head and empty your thoughts out on the table.
So they stop the presses, they arrest six employees, and then those guys get bailed out. But when they get bailed out, they find out that the copies are now selling for $2.50 because everybody wants one.
What great advertising.
Yes.
Yeah.
Everything you're doing
people
is making
now
people
know
want the
paper. Of it. Yeah, right.
Yes. So they decide to print more on Sunday, and Charles hears about that. He sends the cops again. There's another raid. They arrest 13 guys this time.
That's right. Now the paper's going to be $10 a copy.
And they're arraigned the next day, and the defense attorney is Judge Delos Lake.
Okay.
I feel like there's like 8 people in this city.
Seriously, it's like a season of a show. It's just like they're all like, I'm the judge? Well, obviously it's Judge Lake. What are the odds?
We can't do more casting. It's too expensive. Yeah.
Gustavo's going to play both brothers.
Fitzsimmons and Napoli got really high bail.
I thought you were going to say got real high. I was like, yeah, man. I know that feeling.
And the reason they got high bail is because they had already gotten bailed out once and then went back to their crime, which was printing the paper.
Right, right.
So Napoli is like, I want to go. It just says he went to get bail, so he must have... There must be pay your bail somewhere else, or we went to get bail money or whatever. So a cop escorts him to go get his bail.
Okay.
And Gustavus sees him on the corner of San Simon, California.
Uh-oh.
Pulls out his pistol, starts shooting.
Jesus. Any contact, or is this like bad aiming, like genetic?
He grazes Naphtali's head.
This head grazing shit. The 22 grazer. The only guy that'll barely cut the victim. Why don't you give him a butt pot right down the middle of their hair? Boy, oh boy, you need the grazer.
Nothing leaves a nice groove like the grazer.
It's impossible to fully penetrate skin. It'll just graze them.
So he shoots twice more as Naphtali runs away, and then a cop and a bystander tackle him. Now, again, everyone's like, this is amazing. So a big crowd is forming.
Whoa.
And
this is page 4 shit. You imagine in front of us.
And they take Gustavus to the jail, the police station slash prison.
Sure.
And Michael and Charles come down to help or see Gustavus, who's being charged with assault and murder.
Right.
And at the same time that they're all there, Naphtali is escorted back in
Good.
From getting his bail.
So this is obviously before walkie-talkies. They're
yes.
like, oh, God damn it. Again.
And someone is there, because there's all these people there, and someone asks Naphtali about the shooting, and he starts answering, and Michael sees him, and Michael just walks up calmly so no one notices, and he walks up behind Naphtali and pulls a pistol
and
is about to shoot him in the back of the head when someone tackles him and
he
knocks
grazes
him down.
Him?
No, he didn't get the shot off,
oh,
but he was,
God.
He was just about to shoot him in the back of the head, and someone saw it, and so
when I was a kid, I used to watch the G.I. Joe cartoon, and Cobra never died. They always just, like, jumped out of plane. Like, that's what this is. Like, nobody, except for fucking Lincoln.
What?
Oh, God, you didn't hear?
What the fuck are you talking? I only
page,
read... I
what
read,
page are you on?
I only read page 1 and 2 every day.
Well, you're missing out. President's really dead.
What?
They shot him in that big, weird hat.
Ask me about Grotto Nymph.
I'd rather not.
She's a nymph. She's in a grotto.
And it's, all right, taking a turn.
So he gets tackled, and there's like a little skirmish going on. And
careful, he's got a grazer.
Charles looks up, and he sees his brother in this fight, and then he realizes, oh, there's Naphtali.
Yeah. Oh, jeez.
And so he walks quickly forward and very calmly.
You got to do it quick. That's what I've learned from watching my brother.
And reaches into his pocket, and Naphtali yells, quote, "For God's sakes, keep that man away!"
Oh, yes!
And then two cops see him, and they grab Charles.
What the fuck?
And they
I don't
say,
think anybody wants to kill anybody.
And they say, "Give us the gun," and he says he doesn't have a gun.
It's
and,
a comb.
And then they reach into his pocket and they take out a gun.
Oh, that gun. Yes, there is. I thought you said gum. I don't have gum. It might not have even been invented yet.
And now people start panicking. all the people that have come to watch, because there's two guns out.
So you could just go into, like, the cop station? Like, these people are this throng of humans?
Yes.
Like, this human cloud of animated extras is just like, rum, 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 watermelon, 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 watermelon.
Why are they saying watermelon?
As, you know, it looks like they're talking. They're just background fucking extras. Rum, 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 rum. No, no, you don't have, actually say anything. They said just mouth your words. Could you believe the
You've crime? Never done background work.
Oh, yeah, yeah, I did
they
it.
They don't do watermelon, watermelon. Their extras are, they're like, so how are you? So listen, the other day I was in the store.
Well,
and they actually have conversations.
Yes.
Because they're crazy. I'm in the background of Friends, and I want to look as realistic as possible because if
I remember,
what if a producer's watching and he sees me? And he goes, who's that guy in the background? The guy who looks ordinary.
He
goes, I want that guy out in front of the camera.
I did these two Taco Bell commercials, and this woman goes, how did you get successful? And I was like, ma'am, I do children's birthday parties. I don't know. You're talking to the wrong person.
I have a better story. Huh. My wife's friend, she meets this guy, and he used to be a ball player. Minor leagues, never made it out. And then we go to have dinner with him. We meet him for the first time. And I'm like, so what do you do? I'm doing a lot of commercial work. Like, I'm doing like, he goes, I work in commercials too. I go, that's awesome. He goes, I'm an extra. And I was like, oh, he goes, that's all I want to do. And I was like, you don't want to be like in the
nope.
main guy in the, and make all,
no
make,
way.
Make all the money. You don't want to be
you
the
never
guy.
Know those guys' names.
And he goes, no, man, I just want to be in the background. Like, I think it's awesome. I love it. And so, like a year later, I'm in a commercial. The commercial's me. I'm in the main guy.
It's for the product, Dave. Dave.
It's like
Get
a Toyota.
Dave.
It's like a Toyota commercial, and someone throws water on me. It's the commercial. Someone throws water on me, and then right as water gets thrown on me, and the yell cut. I hear this guy go, Dave, and he's in the background, and he's like, look at this, man, and I'm like, fuck, we're both doing our thing.
Yeah, notice who's not wet.
Absolutely amazing. Everyone's living their dreams.
I had a dream once.
Space Con.
With Gareth. What? With?
So the guns out causes a little bit of mayhem.
Sure.
Quote, men were crouching in corners, women were screaming, and prisoners were tugging at their bars.
That's penis, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. You stop talking to those bars, boys. We ain't got a lot of action here, warden.
Outside, cops had to do crowd control because all these people want to rush in, so they're like beating people back. And then they arrest Charles and Michael. They arrest them for assault and libel.
It's a dumb thing to commit crimes in the police station.
Is it because a jury would not convict them?
Of course.
They couldn't get, that's it, they're
sure,
free.
Sure. Everyone
was just like, well,
people saw it.
No.
In a police station.
This is what they did. This is how it worked. They'd be like, well, what did the guy write? Oh, he wrote something about his mom? Nah. That's how it worked. They'd be like, I can't convict him. I would have shot him.
Well, it was the Yo Mama Times. What do you expect? That's their skew, baby.
So, paper goes on. Charles he starts bringing in really good writers. He brings in Mark Twain and Bret Hart. Before Twain is even known, he brings them in. They're regular contributors. In 1875, the circulation is up to 25,000. And Charles and Michael are powerful now. Charles started selecting who would run for political office, and he'd go hard at their opponents and help them out.
Right.
Now, the Chronicle's main rival was the Call and the Bulletin.
Whoa.
The Call want the DeYoungs arrested for taking money for writing positively about San Francisco's water company.
Okay. Boy, it's really clear. This stuff is good.
Well, clearly the water company sucked, and then they're writing nice about it because they're getting cash.
Again,
right?
Just so...
Can you imagine?
Unrelatable.
Can you imagine? That's not what Bill Gates does at all.
I'm a little sick of the Gates bashing, honestly. I spent a day with Dave, and he doesn't understand. He's going to save us all.
He went to Epstein's Island to be like, now! You shut this place down, you! I don't get hard. I name my business after my Microsoft penis. Floppy. You said floppy disk? Yep, disk.
So they also said they promoted bad mine stocks so they could profit.
Sure, selfish.
The Dionys denied it, but they would write amazing descriptions of stocks that weren't good, which wasn't illegal. It's just unethical, but you could do it.
And still not illegal.
And Charles didn't care about unethical. He was like, yeah, whatever.
Right. It's how we right. do it. Unless it was done in his direction, then that right. unethical, it was terrible.
That's right.
Right.
So politics in San Francisco, pretty messy. There's class anger, there's agitators, there's scapegoating. There's the so-called Chinese problem. Chinese are blamed for ruining the city, taking jobs. And the Chronicle supports Mayor Andrew Bryant. Now, the economy tanks, and 19% of people are unemployed.
Okay.
So that's bad.
Right. Thank you.
If you didn't know.
Seems low.
And the Chinese... hating working man's party rises,
oh,
which
my
we talked
God.
About in the Dennis Kearney episode. Yeah.
Chinese hating. We're pretty specific with what our angle is here. We're not sugarcoating much. pretty open.
No, it's not. They're not called the Chinese hating working. They're just called the working man's party.
Oh.
I put that up front.
I was going to say, even Chinese. In like racist times, it's like, Jesus Christ. We're Chinese hating. How are you? Chinese hating. How are you? We got jackets made. You just iron them on the denim.
So what does your party stand for? What's your
pretty
platform?
One noted. We have one real big issue.
Jobs?
No. Well, jobs if they're taken from us.
Uh-huh.
Oh, we just... I don't want to even say it again because it feels like it's been said too many times already.
Well, the name of your party is, that's what it, it's that.
It's the HC.
Chinese hating.
Mm-hmm, yep.
You don't want to say it?
Well, we're a dyslexic group as well. Okay. We got a lot of stuff, honestly. Sure. Sometimes I feel like when I say Chinese, I mean my mother.
What? You need so much therapy. I don't
know
if
this
is enough.
Those first couple years, they're supposed to hold you. That's when you're forming. It doesn't matter. You're out of the womb, but you still need the womb. Don't go anywhere, you fuck!
Don't touch me.
Put me in a blanket and swaddle me.
I'm not your fucking therapist. I'm just a guy at the goddamn unemployment office.
I need to be inchwormed by a man. Chinese or not, I just need to feel a heartbeat near mine. Dad was gone a lot. Does this recline?
So another guy who is also a big Chinese-hating guy is a new minister in town named Isaac...
Yeah, I talked to God. He's really against him.
New minister in town named Isaac... Kallock.
Wow.
Could I just say, that hair is bright red, so this is a giant leprechaun.
That is a legal leprechaun.
That is a giant, it looks like a leprechaun. He's 6'3", 240 pounds.
That's right. I am a motherfucking giant leprechaun. I'm a dyslexicon.
He is a great speaker. He's very magnetic. So his thing is...
So tall.
Besides being a giant leprechaun and hating Chinese.
When 15 leprechauns run into each other, they form me.
He is a big ladies' man.
Of course. Where's that gold? Ooh.
I tell you, but then I'd have to kill you, darling.
Wherever he had lived, there were issues around women.
I'm a fuckricon.
He was expelled from college for, quote, sexual proclivity.
You imagine getting thrown out of college for fucking?
Yeah. Yeah, I can.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Yeah. Almost graduated.
This took a real dookie turn all of a sudden.
Yeah. Well, it wasn't women.
I think get back to reading for you.
The cafeteria, I have a food.
Put your eyes down on the iPad again.
I have a food issue. Boysenberry crumbles, to be specific.
I fuck potatoes. That's how they made Julian.
So Isaac had to leave his ministry in Boston because of adultery that led to a sensational trial. And Boston papers called him, quote, the snorting sorrel stallion of Caw Bottom.
I'm sorry. We got to break it down like game film. So do the rewindy part. Okay, one more time.
The snorting sorrel.
The snorting?
Sorrel.
Okay.
Stallion.
The snort. Okay, so far I'm picturing a fuck machine who sounds like a pig.
Yeah.
And then the last part?
Of Caw Bottom.
Of Caw Bottom?
Maybe that was a place, Caw Bottom?
On a body?
I don't think it was a... It could have been a bottom, a lady's bottom. Caw Bottom.
It just...
Maybe when you put it in the bottom...
I mean, if this wasn't the pay... Like,
you put
this...
it in the bottom and they caw when you...
That's right. Oh, don't mind me snorting.
It's really horrible. Also because he's giant red-haired guy. It's all together the worst picture that has ever been.
I'm going to make pudding.
I had to say it. I'm sorry. I am sorry. I'm genuinely sorry.
So... The trial led to...
The trial must have been like, people must have been whacking off to the trial.
Okay, hold on. So, this is a full report of the trial that they printed up a pamphlet. Can you look at the picture over there? What's happening under the bed?
Oh my God!
There's a guy! There's a little person under the bed!
That's a leprechaun man.
So I think what's happening here is that he has another woman in his house... And his wife's there, and he's just hanging out. Like, they got caught.
I don't agree.
You don't agree?
No. I think that is his wife, and he was just banging her, and he came home, and he went under the bed, and she's like, oh, let me just get my hair back to normal.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, and he's like, oh, my God.
Yeah.
I've got my pants around my ankles under your bed. And the guy's like, yes, I don't know, really.
What?
Me, you know. They had good feathers, but they weren't the kind of feathers I would buy, you know, darling? Gosh, isn't this just paradise? Smells a bit funny, doesn't it, darling? Red hog.
It smells like a wet sex man.
Smells like a moistened piglet's lost.
I feel like we're laughing harder than the crowd at this part.
We're having a good time. When he left Boston, they said he was, quote, leaving in his wake riot, tumult, rape, swindles, perjury, blackmail, and shootings.
Oh my! Well, this changed a little bit. Good thing we got the fun out of the way.
So he next goes to Lawrence, Kansas, where he's, again, working as a minister.
Whoa.
She loves Lawrence. She loves Larry.
Mm-hmm.
So papers there warned locals immediately when he arrived, quote, keep your wives and daughters
fuck
locked
machine
up.
Coming. Lock your doors.
Giant red fucker coming. Not enough did. And soon they wanted him out of Lawrence.
Get out of here.
You told us not to let you fuck our daughters, but we did.
The ginger banger must leave.
And the ginger banger made his way to San Francisco.
Ah,
So he... he's
he's
very,
just about to plow the fields of San Fran?
He's at the Baptist Metropolitan Temple. He is...
Love this church-going guy.
The electric
Dear Lord,
fucking guy.
Give me the erection to last.
Great speaker. People love him. Now, this temple holds 5,000 people, so he becomes one of the city's most influential religious leaders right
Good.
Off the bat.
Well, finally, some power to abuse.
Yes. And he's a big supporter of the Workmen's Party.
Okay.
In 1879, the party nominated him as their candidate for mayor.
Okay.
So Isaac's running for mayor. And Charles had always backed the Working Man's Party, but once Isaac is nominated, he's like, I'm out. I fucking hate this guy.
He hates him. He's jealous.
He dates his history. And yeah, I mean, I think he hates that a new powerful guy rolled into town.
I mean,
and, you know, he fucks ladies like crazy. Like,
sure. Yeah, he's the snorting stallion.
Yeah, guys get mad at that.
It sounds like in some areas, questionable as far as the were two keys turned on the sex as he was run out of town.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's not great.
Sure. Yeah. Okay. Let's just. Great.
Yes. Let's.
Well.
Yes.
Should be talked about. Right.
Right.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Not always given.
Right.
Right. Great. Okay. Thanks for joining us.
It's chemistry is why people listen.
It's not what we're talking about.
You and I.
How did you turned it into something about you?
No, you and I are having a thing right now.
Uh-huh.
We don't need words.
They're essential to the podcast,
it's
I'd
in
say.
The eyes. It's in
not
the eyes.
Gonna translate through a download, so...
Ginger fucker.
Well, listen, I've never been run out of town, but I have moved.
So he hates him, and
I like to picture that he has a penis like a pig's tail. Okay, keep going. Sorry, I just wanted to, so that we all could all see what I'm seeing.
I think we all like to picture that.
Perfect.
So he just starts attacking Kallik in the Chronicle. He called him a mock minister and a carpetbag demagogue. In another issue, he wrote Kallik was, quote, a burlesque divine whose aspiration to high office is the nature of public shame.
Okay.
Yeah. The Chronicle reported that Kallik had been seen seducing dozens of women. And drinking tons of gin in saloons.
Well, he's 6'3 and Irish looking.
Plus, everyone's drinking in saloons.
Yeah, the idea that that's this time, like, that much, you see that guy drinking? I think he probably, I'm worried that that guy has a bit of an alcoholic consumption problem. You seen that guy over there? Guys, like, we all like to have a good time, but man, come on, you have some fucking respect for yourself. Hey, I like to drink just as much as the next man. But come on, at some point you gotta recognize that you're not, you know, you're a grown ass boy. You know, you gotta can't be taking out all there. Are you all right? You're looking sort of like seeing through me a little bit. My point is that when in this town, unfortunately, we have rules, and when it comes to someone drinking at a bar, you gotta be straightforward. And by the way, I could do another gin, but only because this guy, I want to teach you guys some of this guy's a lesson. You know what I'm saying, man?
I just came up here to order another beer.
Yeah, same with me. I know.
No, you're the bartender.
Oh, shit. Fucking shit, dude. Holy shit. All right. I'll take a gin. Make it snappy.
So, Kallik's furious about this. He attacks Charles from the pulpit. He said Charles had offered him a deal to back him for mayor if he split the spoils when he won.
Wow.
And Kallik told his flock, quote, give Mr. DeYoung my compliments and tell him to go to hell.
Okay.
And then, I promise you, if I'm elected mayor, I will kill the San Francisco Chronicle.
Whoa, what? Jesus. I'll graze it right down the middle of its pages.
Doesn't faze Charles. The next day's Chronicle headline, quote, Kallik, the record of a misspent life.
Page 9.
Driven forth from Boston like an unclean leper.
A leprechaun.
His trial for adultery, his escapade with one of the Tremont Temple choristers, and then on and on. But
okay.
Driven forth from Boston like an unclean leper is one of the all... Sure. That should be a movie.
Sure, sure. Yeah. Like a bizarro Pied Piper.
I mean, this guy would have fucking tweeted like a master.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. Everyone would start with thread.
The next...
And then, like, the 18th tweet is the interesting part. You're like, finally, oh, Jesus God, Christ, a lot go. Of bullshit to get to that.
The next Sunday, Kallik responded and told his congregation, quote, the DeYoungs...
I like that he has to wait till Sunday.
Yeah, he's got to wait till Sunday.
He's
got to
be like, oh.
Just writing and rewriting. The DeYoungs approach nearer than any persons in history, whether man or devil, to the monstrous model of consummate and unrelieved depravity. They are hyenas of society, hybrid whelps of sin, and shame moral lepers. But you can't come back with leper after you just got called a leper.
It's weak, for
it's
sure.
So weak.
But was anyone in church just like, when do you do the Bible? Feels like you've kind of lost the plot a little bit.
So Charles, that's Charles. Charles...
Oh, there we go. Yeah.
Charles is pushing his writers to go even further with attacks. He wrote a sentence threat that only he figured Kallik would know about his adultery trial in Boston.
So he did like a coded coding?
Yeah, he did like a coded thing that no one else knew, but Kallik would know.
Like, if you're a journalist at the paper, you're like, I just feel like maybe, like, no. Every third letter has to be a D. Don't you say, hey, you fool.
Zodiac signs. Do it in Zodiac
there
signs.
There we go. So, smiley face.
Kallik doesn't give a shit. Quote, Charles DeYoung is the wickedest man in the world. He may be without rival in hell. If he does not go to hell, the institution should be abolished.
The institution of hell?
It's like the Hall of Fame.
It's the Hall of Fame.
If Barry Bonds doesn't get in, fuck the whole place.
I mean... What a movement. the institution.
Yes.
I will bring the devil up here and fire him myself. Satan, you go work at the 99 cent store. You're not good enough.
It's over.
I've condemned this place, this shithole. That's
break
the idea.
Up your hell. I'm shutting it down.
That's it.
You're all...
Gordon Ramsay's here.
You go...
This is hell's hell!
Somewhere, y'all go somewhere else.
Your bed of nails is nothing! Shut it down! We're not doing dinner! Yes!
Hi, question?
Yes!
Hi. Isn't hell not so much a physical place, but like if we all go... Like if you shut it down, we go somewhere, isn't that still hell? Because it's mostly... You know, who we are.
Get the fuck out of the church!
Okay, that's fair.
It's gotta understand...
I'm just saying, it's like Congress. Like, if you blew up the building, whatever, but it's the people that make up Congress.
What part of get the fuck out are you not understanding? Get the fuck out! But if you want to go learn about God and Jesus, go to a church.
This is a church.
Shut the fuck up! Weren't you getting the fuck out 5 fucking minutes ago?
It's like you get redder. Then you get angry, and I gotta admit, the ladies are a little turned on.
Of course they are. I'm an overheating thermometer.
He went on. The DeYoungs are the bastard progeny of a whore, born in the slums and nursed in the lap of prostitution.
The idea that this is in church and you're talking about the Bible, like, where you're like, they're of a whore. It's like, well, he's of a virgin. There's a lot of weird shit.
Yeah, but, you know.
Okay.
Keep it personal. That's what they always say.
Sure. That's next week. Next week we'll do a bit of the Bible, I promise. I keep coming up here meaning to do some of the Bible. Just keep forgetting.
So,
what's the cross guy's name again? The big deal one?
Frank?
No, it's... Oh, my God. This is mortifying. God, he died for the sins. He's...
This is my first time here.
Long John Silver.
Oh. So the reason he said this is because Charles' mother was a sex worker. And he just, because the other guy, Naphtali, whatever his name is, he's alluded to it.
Okay.
With the mother.
So this is the first time that
he
it's
just
being,
dropped the fucking bomb.
Right. Okay. So, and my guess is that Charles has no unresolved issues with this stuff.
Yeah, no, and he's very calm about things like this.
Right.
Yes, understanding is what you would call him. Understanding. It's when he would reach out and say, hey, let's have a talk.
Hey, it was tough times. My mother did what she had to do to get by.
I had a hard childhood.
You said some stuff, I said some stuff.
Yeah. That's right.
Now let me miss you with this pistol.
From a foot away.
Yeah.
So on August 23rd, 1879, in the morning, Charles left the paper's office and flagged down a carriage. He told the driver to take him to 961 Mission Street, which was Kallak's home. They got there, and he was not there because he was at the temple. So he told them to take him to the temple. And he parked out back with the carriage, and he told the carriage driver to wait. Kallak came out at 10 a.m., and a young boy approached and said a woman in a carriage wanted to pay her respects to him.
Oh, wow.
Now, it's a lady.
Sure.
So Kallak could not turn that down. It might lead
How's
to sex.
How's my breath? Terrible. Perfect.
I could be fucking soon. He walked over to the carriage, took off his glove to shake the young lady's hand.
Sure.
And as he reached to open the door, Charles pulled back the curtain of the carriage and yelled, quote, now I've got you.
Everything is like silent film villain. Now I've got you. You're in the crosshairs of the woke mafia.
And he shot.
Wow.
Now, Kallak's huge, so hard to miss.
Sure. Oh, how did he?
And the ball went into the left side of his chest.
Okay.
He stumbles back. Blood is spurting out.
Okay.
And he starts stumbling towards the temple. And Charles takes a step out of the carriage and shoots again, and he hits Kallak in the left thigh. And Kallak said, quote, oh, my God.
I love the person who was, like, recounting the exact words. He said, now I've got you. And then when he shot him in the chest, he goes, ooh. And then he shot his leg, and he goes, oh, no, not my leg. And then as it's bleeding, he goes, that's a lot of red sauce. I remember it so well, officer.
So Charles jumped in the carriage to escape, but it's too late because the Working Man's Party having a rally nearby.
Oh, good.
And they run over when they hear the shots, and now they try to pull Charles out of the carriage.
I'm a lady!
But
there's a woman in here! Stop it!
But he starts pointing his gun at all of them, and then they back off.
Careful, he'll miss!
He says, quote, I will shoot dead the first man who lays a hand on me. So they're like, all right, but they're not letting the carriage leave either.
Right.
And then they're like, let's hang him. So a guy goes to get a rope.
I'll be back. Let me get rope, and then we'll get him. I live really far away.
my house is in Danville.
So my wife got, it was just so far from here, where we are now. Local stuff's good. So I got home. My wife, I guess, threw that rope out. So I went to the hardware store. No rope. What are the odds? So now I'm going to go to two other places to try to get rope. I realize it's getting dark, but, you know, we should wait to hang him proper.
Just go.
Okay, see you in a bit.
You don't have to come back.
Okay.
Just get it before you come back. You don't have to come back and tell us if it's not there. Just get it.
Yes. The first thing I'll do is return with it. Mm-hmm. Okay, great, great. I'll be back with rope. Crazy shit happened. No rope.
Just go find rope.
I was gonna. I wanted to update you.
I said don't do that.
Well, I think you're gonna want to hear this.
I don't think we are.
Yeah, you are.
We want to kill this guy.
We want him dead. I agree. And we need rope.
Yeah.
So can I give you the update? I don't have the rope.
No, we got that.
But I can get it tomorrow.
This city is fucking rope all over it.
I know. That's what makes this situation so baffling from a rope standpoint.
We import tons of it from Danville.
I know. There's a Danville, which is...
Danville.
That's what I said.
It sounded like...
It's like a guy named Dan fucked an anvil. Duh. Anyway, I've got a lead on floss. Will that do?
No.
I think we should all go out to dinner. Make a night of it. Get the rope tomorrow, probably.
Have you ever been a part of a mob?
No, I'm so nervous. You guys look so awesome.
Yeah, you're
Everyone's so agitated but organized.
You're really bumming the high.
Oh.
Like, we're...
I part of the mob officially?
Well, you're the fucking rope getter.
Oh, my God. I thought this was like a pledging situation.
You're out.
I just got in.
You're not, and you're out. You were never in. You had a chance to be in.
What a great sense of loss I'm wearing now. Gosh, what a roller coaster day in the mob, huh?
Hey.
This is the woke mob, right? Want to make sure I'm in the right one.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, wait, am I in the rope one? I wanted woke. This is so classic me. Yeah. Yeah. I deserve that level of this.
Ah, the is it over clap.
At least everyone kind of meant it.
So
there have been better characters in the story. We got a lumberjack leprechaun that fucks.
So before they can kill him, the cops arrive and they take Charles to jail.
Okay.
Now thousands of men gather outside the jail and they're marching up and down the street and they're chanting, quote, kill him, kill him. Hemp, hemp, hemp.
Hemp, hemp, hemp?
That's rope.
Sure.
Rope's made from hemp. Okay. Or they want to get high. It could be that they want to kill him, but also get really
fucking
high.
Kill him, let's smoke weed. Yeah, that makes more sense.
So he's in jail for a week, and the whole time, Kallak is in bed close to death.
Okay.
Like, they think he's going to die, and he doesn't die. Like, just keeps going on.
Right.
Doctors tell people he's not going to live, and then people are demanding that Charles be killed. But Kallak doesn't die.
Hmm.
And he struggles on day after day. His supporters stood in a circle around his now dry... His supporters stood in a circle around his now dried blood on the street to stop street cleaners from washing it away.
Oh, my Lord. It's just, there's we've just always had these fucking lunatics. If you touch the blood, he'll die.
Don't touch the blood.
Leave the blood where it is.
That's our Lord's blood.
You know, when I look at it, I see an eagle.
I see a dong. Why do I see a dong?
Look closer.
And my daughter. What the fuck is going on
Don't
in there?
Don't look close. Don't look too close. Stop looking at it.
Boy, she's really getting it.
Yeah.
Hey, sex is normal. Don't kink shame the blood puddle guy.
Yeah. That's right. Finally. He's got rights, too. I agree, Dave.
So he's a guy who likes to watch his daughter fucking blood puddles. What's
right,
your problem?
Hey, maybe we stop digging.
So the Working Man's Party is making just fiery speeches around town about what's happened.
Right.
Kallak's son, Milton, is one of these guys making speeches. Quote, I yet believe my father will live to be mayor of San Francisco and will tread on the grave of that brute, DeYoung. If DeYoung does not hang, then help me kill him.
Okay, straightforward.
Yep.
Yep.
So doctors reported that Kallak had, quote, the constitution of a grizzly bear and was improving. They said he was conscious and he was fighting back.
And so he's eating salmon out of the river with his mouth. Unbelievable what this guy's doing.
There were five doctors attending to him and, quote, working feverishly.
Okay,
you know
sure.
What they're doing.
Yeah.
They're just sitting around going,
Should we take the bullet out again? Or I don't know. It's like the hard part's kind of over, right?
We've taken the bullet out 19 times.
Let's do it one more time.
Yes. But then he took a turn. Oh. And they now they say he's got a very slim chance of surviving.
He's becoming a polar bear.
But then on the ninth day...
Temperature-wise, not in the adorable factor, but don't sleep on the grizzly. They can be quite cute, too. Mm.
Then on the ninth day, doctor said, quote, if anything, he is better. He is losing some flesh, but looks well.
This doctor, how about no updates until you have an official, like, now he's lost a bunch of his skin, but he's good.
He's now skinless Isaac Kullock.
He's got blue eyes and can shoot lasers, but we're pretty good. We're happy.
And then the day before the election.
For mayor.
Yes.
Okay.
Doctors come out and say he is going to live.
You vote for him if you want a living mayor.
The people of San Francisco are excited and they elect him mayor. Now, no one can believe it because he was always a huge long shot.
Right.
And so everyone just thinks, well, he got shot and survived, and that's why, which is why. That's what happened.
Now he's a shot.
Henry George wrote, quote, the crack of DeYoung's pistol from behind the curtains of a coupe fired Dr. Kullock into the mayorality.
Right.
Charles got out of jail on a $25,000 bond and went straight to the Chronicle.
Okay, right. I thought he was going to go to the hospital. Like, well, leave me alone with the patient for a moment. I'd like to examine him myself.
And he said he's not leaving. He was going to keep putting out the truth until his trial later in the year.
Oh, God.
He sent a reporter back.
Feels a bit manic.
He sent a reporter back east to dig up dirt on Kullock and put together a 60-page pamphlet smearing Kullock.
I feel like people don't care, right? Is he, like, it feels like he's just doing this now to...
Ooh, Charles?
Charles.
No, Charles now wants to... Because there's shitloads of dirt on this guy. Charles wants to bury
him.
So.
I mean, like, a lot of it's already out there.
Maybe. People might not know. I mean...
Yeah, I guess.
Whatever. It's a pamphlet. It's a little book. 60 pages.
60 pages.
It's a 60-page fucking dirt sheet on
it's
a guy.
Pretty good.
So, he's going to release it 10 days before his attempted murder trial.
Okay.
And Charles is working late on Friday, April 23rd.
Is this going to be Judge Lake again?
1880. When the front door burst open, it was Milton Kullock. He was, quote, ashen-faced. He had a gun. Because Milton had just read an advanced copy of the pamphlet.
Oh, my God.
And he shot at Charles from 6 feet away and hit a and shattered a glass door.
Just like...
Charles jumped behind an employee he'd been speaking to and used him as a shield.
You're going to get a raise, you see? Stand there, Goofy.
That's why you need a union. Milton shot again and missed again. So he
like
shoots
he's still
at the
shooting
guy
at, yeah, he's right.
While he's behind the
I'll
employee.
I'll shoot your shield, then you.
Charles then takes that moment to run for the back room. Milton shoots a third time, misses again. Then a fourth. This one hit Charles in the right side of his jaw.
Ooh.
Went through his jugular vein and stopped in the back of his neck. Charles collapsed. He was dead.
Well, that was swift.
Yeah. 39 years old.
Wow. A life well lived.
Yeah. A life, A funeral was held several days later. As the funeral procession made its way through the streets, people softly booed and hissed.
Boo. I like the soft boo.
Boo. Charles?
Dave, if I may quickly, I just noticed that the beer opener talks.
What? What are you doing over there? What a weird little man you are.
It's supposed to talk.
Did you just... Can you open me one? Did you just pick up a beer opener and say, hey, hold on. I have to stop the show because I think this beer opener talks. And then it didn't talk?
Can we get some batteries for this just so that... Otherwise, I feel like it was a waste of time.
There's nobody over there.
They don't have to know that, asshole.
So Charles' head rested on a pillow embroidered with... Did it for his mother.
Oh,
That's what every single pillow should say at a funeral. Everybody should just have
for
that.
His mother.
What the fuck does that mean?
Who?
Oh,
well,
okay. I mean, he did do it for his mother.
I guess. I mean, he started doing it for himself.
But the killing of the guy was the
well,
reason
he, didn't
he
kill
shot.
The guy.
He, well, he shot him because
oh,
of his because he said bad stuff about
did
his mommy.
Did he kill him?
No, he didn't kill him.
Oh, interesting.
But he said bad stuff about his mommy.
Yeah. No, I know. It's just like. You know, I would be like, eh, maybe we don't put anything on the pillow. Mommy's baby? Hmm, I don't know.
So, Milton goes on trial. Open and shut case. He shot him in front of witnesses. He came to kill him. At the end of the trial, Mayor Kallick testified. He calmly described everything Charles DeYoung had done to him, all the terrible things he'd done to him and his family. And as he was speaking in the witness stand, he kept jiggling two objects in his hand the whole time.
Bullets.
As he's telling all these stories. Everyone starts looking at his hand. And the prosecutor finally can't take it, and he jumps up and says, quote, "Tell us, Mayor Kallick, what is it you have in your hand?" And the mayor rose, and with his great speaking voice said, quote, "They are the two bullets from DeYoung's murderous weapon, which were extracted from my body." And then he walked over to the jury and handed them to a juror.
"Now I've just got two balls." Wink, and, wink, juror nine.
And of course they found Milton not guilty due to extenuating circumstances.
Because he had the meditation balls?
Yeah.
Okay, sure. The juries are just, it's when, a good system.
When they read the verdict, the prosecuting attorney was so astonished that he swallowed his tobacco cud. Well, that guy's a creep.
No, oh, God, I've lost and I'll have diarrhea. Real 1-2.
So.
What a cartoon character.
So the Chronicle continued under Michael DeYoung.
And okay.
At one point, the paper took on a Sugar King, Claus Spreckles. Sugar Kings are guys who... think of it like a mafia guy who controls the sugar in Hawaii.
It's absolutely pure.
The Chronicle accused him of swindling stockbrokers of his Hawaiian sugar company and treating laborers like slaves. And when this happened, because it happened right before a big it's like stockbroker meeting or something.
Sure.
Claus's son, Adolf, lost it. He went to
Adolf Spreckles?
That's correct.
It's like Hitler beer. Try a new Adolf Spreckles. Bubbly, but not too much.
So he went, Adolf went to the exact same office where Charles had been killed and shot at Michael.
Jesus Christ.
He hit him.
Okay.
But he didn't die. He was seriously injured.
Okay.
Newspapers across the U.S. decried the vigilante world of San Francisco.
I mean, yeah, it's...
Yeah, it's crazy. Everyone's like, what is going on?
Aren't you news? Like, you're supposed to report the news.
Yeah, no, we are the news.
Some said getting rid of the final DeYoung was a public service.
Wow.
Ambrose Bierce said, quote, "Hatred of DeYoung is the first and best test of a gentleman."
Wow. Okay, sure.
And then Adolf was acquitted for reasonable cause.
Reasonable cause. You probably should have killed him. Legally speaking. The jury finds that it's okay that he tried to kill him. Because he was pissed. When will the law be done in this country?
Michael keeps running the paper. He was very powerful, very sure. successful. He was California's representative to Chicago's Columbian Exposition in 1893, and when he was there, he was like, "We have to hold an exposition in San Francisco. Let's do that." And he sure. came back, and the superintendent of San Francisco was very against it, but Michael did it anyway. He had all the trees removed from 100 acres of Golden Gate Park, and when questioned, said, quote, "What is a tree? What are thousands of trees compared to the benefits of the exposition?"
Yes, and we will make that a forever standing policy of the country.
Yes.
You know the problem? Too many trees. Not enough Arby's.
For his entire life, he was obsessed with developing what he called the vacant land of Golden Gate Park.
Wow. It's like, so he's like, yeah, he's just like, yeah, boy, without those trees, imagine. Just, stupid trees. We were here first, trees.
He had decided to run for
Senate. Has anybody been fighting a tree? He shot at it. Completely missed it. Looks like he grazed a branch.
He decides to run for Senate, but this Scottish reporter found out, and he hated him.
Bloody hell.
He hated Michael for taking bribes and, you know, doing
just
all this.
Everything I detest.
Shit. Killing all the trees.
He killed all those bloody trees. And when he did it, he got a truck removed. You're supposed to toss him over your bloody shoulder.
So he writes a series of articles.
In my bloody accent. Jesus Christ, this guy.
About Michael.
Fucking unbelievable, Michael.
Young. And then at the end, he reveals.
By the way, there's a big secret I've got to tell you. Something you're not going to believe.
That he came across.
I came across something I think you'll find interesting, gang.
The long-missing Gustavus de Jong.
That's right. Oh, I found him. Bloody Gustavus! He was under one of the trees!
He had found Gustavus dressed in rags in a pauper's ward at the Stockton Insane Asylum.
Wow.
He had apparently had a mental breakdown while working for Charles.
Sure, that makes sense, by the way.
And even though Michael was rich, he refused to pay the $15 a month to keep Gustavus living in dignity.
Wow.
So that was it. Michael's hopes for becoming a senator were over. Everyone Whoa. Thought he was a piece of shit. So he tried to improve his image and insisted the Exposition Fair's Fine Arts Building remain in Golden Gate Park as the city's first public art gallery. And that's how San Francisco got the de Jong Museum.
Oh, wow.
That's what it first looked like back then. So congratulations. It's like the way L.A. got Griffith Park because he shot his wife in the
face. Yeah, honestly.
You're all, everybody's terrible. So.
Guy shot his wife and they're like, sure, good for hiking.
Yeah. Michael went on to serve 3 times as a delegate to the Republican National Convention. He also went on to be director of the Associated Press for 25 years.
Jesus.
And he died in 1925.
Wow.
Oh.
Uh-oh.
An actor... Max Thoreau is the great-great-grandson of Charles. You can see him in SEAL Team on Netflix or The Bates Motel.
What the fuck kind of ending is this? I can't believe we're ending on a Tiger Beat shot. Fuck. I think it was better journalism back then.
I always love when journalists are like, they get like Glenn Greenwald's a great guy who does it, talks about how, you know, you're biased, that you shouldn't be biased. And it's like, that's fucking what journalism was. It's always been fucking biased.
Well, think about Chris Cuomo with Andrew Cuomo and then Brian Stelter. It was like, what the fuck is happening over here? He's like, we've never been able to see anything like this before. It's, like, it's pretty fucking straightforward. We're all very confused as to how to handle all these lies.
Yeah.
Yeah, but at least you could, you know, walk into a paper with a gun easily. I mean, it was just a simpler time, you know?
Oh, my God.
Stop doing that. Fuck.
I mean, it was the Wild West time, you know?
You what?
It was the Wild West time.
Yeah, it is. I mean, I times got better in between. Feels like we're...
What do you mean?
...heading back down, and boy, are we armed to the teeth here. So,
oh, what?
Yeah, feels
I haven't noticed that. Is that
well,
thing?
I mean, we laugh, but I'm pretty sure there'll be a time where I'll be like, what have you done to my thigh? No, it was just a podcast.
Although it would be pretty great if podcasters started shooting each other.
Well, let's not say that stuff. Like, I'm in an elk outfit in the middle of the woods. I just wake up after being drugged. Like, the fuck? Where am I? The fuck?
My legs have been turned into hands.
Run.
Yeah. Why would that be Rogan that did that, not me?
What kind of fucking... What's your problem?
What a great end to the podcast. I hunt you like an elk.
You have like, a mic strapped to my head like this. Dave, no idea what the topic's going to be about. To stop it.
Every person listening.
No idea where he is or why he's an elk.
Every listener would be like, yeah, that makes sense. That makes sense. That's how it ended. It's always going that way.
It's the great thing about this show. And no matter, the weird way for it to end would just be for it to end. Like, you need to drown me or something. You know, It needs to end in like a duel. What we should do is, this should end in a duel.
Agreed.
We'll someday we'll be like, we're doing 10 more. And then at the end of this,
a duel.
We're going to go duel.
I grazed him. Thank you guys so much for coming out. We appreciate it. Truly. A pleasure. Thank you.
Sources for this episode: Charles Adams, The Magnificent Rogues of San Francisco, Gray Brechin, Imperial San Francisco, Richard Rodriguez, Twilight of the American Newspaper in Harper's, and then a bunch of different newspapers, as you can imagine, newspapers.
Oh, yes, it's Gareth. Not Gary, stop it. Gare Force, listen, I've got a bunch of stand-up shows coming up, and I want to see you there. We can hug. I will be at Rooster Teeth Feathers in Sunnyvale, California, April 18th, 19th, and 20th. Then I will be in Chattanooga, Tennessee, June 18th. I will be at Nashville, Zanies, June 19th. I will be in Huntsville, Alabama, June 20th. I'll be in Atlanta, Georgia, June 21st, June 22nd. Then I will be in Pottstown, Pennsylvania, June 26th. Then I'll be in East Providence, Rhode Island, June 27th. Then I'll be in Boston, Massachusetts, and Boston, June 28th. That's two shows. I will be in Springfield, Massachusetts, June 29th, Rochester, New York, June 30th, and then July 5th through the 6th. Canada, I've heard your prayers, and I will answer them. I will be in Toronto. So come join me at the Comedy Bar. Go to GarethReynolds.com for tickets and information. That's right, Gare Force. We're calling you up. It's the big time. The big leagues. This went poorly.